Welcome to the Irish Pagan School podcast. Your hosts are authors and co-founders of the Irish Pagan School here in County Waterford, Ireland, Laura O'Brien and John O'Sullivan. Falcha.
My name is Laura O'Brien. If you're new here, then you're very, very welcome. I am an Irish witch, three, if you want to call me, user of native Irish magic, priest, practitioner, from Ireland. So one of the things that I wanted to look more at with relation to witchcraft, magic, Irish magic, would be how we can look at the older Irish traditions, cures, charms, folklores, and put that into practice in a modern magical way. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about today was keys. Or actually the only thing I really want to talk about today is keys. So we're going to look at keys and how they appeared in Irish folklore and how I would kind of take that and make use of it now in a modern setting, as I said. So keys are obviously about clarity. They open doors, okay? So it's about clearing the way. It's about making sure that you are unobstructed and that you can step forward how you need to step forward, or at least see through into the room that previously was locked to you. So we're talking about perception, otherworld knowledge, manifesting, and even healing, to clear something away or to clarify or to open the door for healing energy to manifest, to be made present. So an interesting one that I've come across is quite common is that pimples can be cured by pressing the hole of a key onto it. And it seems a little bit obscure, but there's a lot. There's another one about nosebleeds. So it's supposed to be an unfailing cure for a bleeding nose is to get a key, and presumably kind of a big key, and put it down the person's back. And it's most often said that this is the cold that will stop the bleeding. So, but with everything else that comes around keys, it would seem that there's maybe more going on, that, you know, it's not just any piece of metal, it's specifically a key. Like it's not a coin, for example, or it's not a random tool or a knife, you know, anything like that. It's specifically a key, like a knife. If you were just using it for the cold, a knife would maybe make more sense because, you know, especially if it's kind of going down the back. There is something to the cold thing in that it would be something of a shock to the system and might kind of contract the vessels that were flowing with blood. So there's definitely something medically sciencey to it. She says, not being any kind of a science person, scientist. Yes. Anyway, moving on. But why a table knife or a butter knife wouldn't be used rather than a key? I believe that the key was that there are healing properties in the key, which again is carried out through a lot of the other folklore. And the other thing would be divination. So there is a very, very common custom. It's most often seen around Halloween, Samhain, but I think that it's, you know, that's because divination and prophecy became associated with Samhain, and kind of everything was kind of squished into there. But I believe that it probably would have been any time that divination or a prophecy was needed, that this technique could have been used. So it's taking some lead. So it would have been very common to actually have lead in the home, or at least accessible in like your village through your grocers, because it was the tea chests were lead lined. So there would have been lead available to people, and it was pretty easy to melt it. And so lead is quite a common, anything metal that was needed, really. Lead could be melted and shaped to, relatively easy by a person at home, to whatever you wanted it to be. So this particular form of divination that was very, very common around Halloween would be to take a piece of lead, melt it in an old unused saucepan or whatever over just a fire. And when it was melted, you would get a bowl or a basin of water and an old key. And Sometimes it's just a key, but most often we see a widow's key. So you would have to actually either ask a widow or sometimes steal it from a widow and steal her key. So widow's keys were particularly powerful in a lot of these traditions for, you know, some reason. And so you take this key and sometimes taken fresh out of the door of a widow's house, maybe returned, maybe not. But you would take the lead and pour it through the top of the key, through the hole in the top of the key. So like the handle of the key, if you like. And as it formed on the water, then it congealed and the shapes then would be read as omens or prophecies. So if there was, you would see maybe soldiers, ships, guns, churches, big houses. You know, it could be used to foretell a career or who you would marry or whatever. So you would ask your question specifically before and then divine the answer from the shapes that the melted lead forms on the water. And there is an old kind of meeting of the worlds as well here. So you've got lead would be particularly represented by as the world of Earth particularly, and obviously then you have the water represented and the air, I suppose, as well, the sky, in the pouring. So you've got that kind of that distance between them. So this is kind of where the three worlds meet. And now that's supposition. That's not part of the tradition. That's just me looking at it and seeing, you know, where those elements might actually come in, right? Just to be clear. I do have a whole class on the cosmology of the three worlds. It's a practical guide to Irish spirituality and it's at theirishpaganschool.com. If you would like to take it and learn more about that, it is pretty interesting. But looking at this and looking at all these kind of examples, and we have a huge amount in the National Folklore Collection, which you can find on duchas.ie, duchas.ie. So look for key and you will find hundreds and hundreds of entries rather. And a lot of them would say very similar things. So like I said, we've got the keys are used to literally open the doors, right? And how I have used this personally, how I've used this kind of key magic, key energy, would be in a couple of ways. So, it is very, very much very useful for home and hearth magic. So especially if you're looking for a new home, and you can bring the divination elements into it. So you can have a key that, you know, you can steal it from a widow if you want to, if that's your thing. You could offer an exchange if you happen to know a widow. You could exchange them something for an old key that they happen to have lying around. I don't think it matters if it's like an old fashioned key or a modern key, but I think for me, when I have been able to find, you know, older kind of ancient looking keys, they definitely kind of pack more of a punch. Just psychologically, they pack a little bit more of a punch. And but it is not necessary. If you have a widow who's wanting to, you know, hand you over an old key to a bicycle lock that they don't use anymore, then it's still a widow's key and it still works, right? Or you can actually just use any key. So if you have a widow's key, I wouldn't necessarily like cleanse it, but I would specifically charge it and align it to your intent. So that can be done by sleeping with it under your pillow. And this is if you know the source, right? So if you know the widow, if it is a random key that you found, I would definitely cleanse it. You can do that by holding it in running water. You can do it by sitting it in a bowl of salt. You can use moon energy to cleanse it. You can bring it down to the sea and you combine both. That's what I usually do to do my magical cleansing, is to, you know, running water, and that's also salt water. So that is ideal. And all of my stuff gets cleansed in the sea because we are blessed enough to live close to the sea here in Waterford in Ireland. So once you're kind of happy with the cleansing and the charging of it and the alignment of this key to whatever you want to do with it, what you can then do with it is you can, if you're looking for a new home, you can use it, as I said, for that kind of divination and prophecy element. You can meditate or journey while holding the key and see if you can figure out where you want to live or where the best place for you to live would be. You could use it for dowsing on a map in the same fashion or to the same end, really. If you're not quite sure what area you want to be in or what country you want to be in or, you know, what neighborhood you want to be in or what would be the best for you or for your family, you could hold the key and, you know, put it on a chain or your own hair or any kind of a thread and basically use it as a pendulum for dowsing. And you can Google that. There's lots of ways to learn some really, really basic pendulum dowsing. But I've definitely used keys for that very successfully in the past. And you can then take the key and transcribe or paint or etch a sigil into it. If you have a particular like house hunting sigil that you would like to bring that energy into, you know, into the magic, you can literally carve that onto or paint that onto a key. And you can also use Om, an Om word. I have a free class over at the Irish Pagan School on the three truths about Om. There is also an introduction to Om. So if you're going to be using the Om, please make sure that you're using it properly. There's a lot of bullshit out there. So there's some great free resources here on the YouTube, but also over on the irishpaganschool.com. So please, you know, just caution around that. Please use it properly. For example, it has to be in Irish. You know, it's or Latin. I mean, we will accept Latin, but if we're going historically accurate, but for the energy of Om to really activate, I believe the Irish language is a very important factor there, preferably Old Irish, actually. And I don't often recommend the use of Old Irish over Modern Irish, but Modern Irish will definitely do it as well. And then you would transcribe anyway the word or the phrase, if your key is big enough, on Om into the key and use it the same way you would sigil to charge it or to manifest with it. You could then put the key onto a keyring and carry it around with you, either when you're going house hunting or you could wear it. You could put it on your neck. I've done that as well. You could put it in your pocket. You can, you know, just bring it in a bag. It's fine in a bag. Have it on you, have it with you while you're out and about, while you're house hunting, even while you're going on walks. If you're, you know, if you find a neighborhood that you particularly want to live in or, you know, want to kind of check out, you can absolutely basically be led around by the key and, you know, just kind of tuned into it and make sure that you're feeling where it would like you to go. That's a little bit more advanced maybe than beginners, but you know, it is a thing that I have done. And then even if you're not house hunting, when you actually have a house, when you have somewhere that you're living that you're very happy with, you can use keys blessed and charged as protective talisman magic. So you can do the same thing with sigils or Om inscribed on it. You can just wear the key and it will be, you know, representative of the energy that you want to, the protective, the clarifying, the healing, the, you know, the open communication, the access to information that is not necessarily mundane, you know, all of those things, as I said, are, and manifesting energies. So all of those things are, traditionally associated with keys in Ireland. And yeah, and I mean, you could do something as simple as, like, you know, charge it up and hang it by the front door of your house. So hopefully that was useful to you. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a positive review in your podcast listener. Then head over to irishpaganschool.com and enroll in one of our free or paid courses. Sláinte fóill, and we will see you next time.